Test 1, 2. Test 2, 3.
I just got my driver's license. I drove up somewhere up there. It's Leo.
Test 1, 2, 3.
He got lynched 1915 down in Georgia.
You know, that was that guy was lynched right over here just celebrating.
Alonzo Mann. He's the one who saw the murder. You know him?
Test 1, 2, buckle my shoe. Test 3, 4, can I get a little more on the monitor up here, please?
Yeah.
Test 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, up here, test, that's test 1, 2, that's good, yeah, that's good.
Check, 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 check. Feels like, turn the house off, please, so I can hear myself. Okay, a little more. Check, check, check. Check. A little more piano, please. A little more piano. More piano. Actually, back it off now. Back it off. Is that too loud, Joe? Back it off just a tad more.
Yes. Shabbat shalom, everybody online. We're sorry to have a delay here today. We have, this is race weekend here in Bristol, Tennessee. This is NASCAR race weekend at Bristol Motor Speedway. So we're not at the Speedway. We're here to worship the Lord, but we're getting started. We're getting underway a little bit late today, so forgive us for the delays, a lot of traffic in town. And we're glad you're with us. I'm Rabbi Joe. This is Lion of Judah, our Yehuda Messianic congregation, and for Zion's Sake Ministries. And we're just glad you're with us today. God has a great service in store for you. So thank you for joining us. Rebbetzin Don is here with us today. And we're thrilled. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're thrilled to have her. And Mr. Anthony Cody's here, our Torah teacher. And we have Carol and Diane and Isaac in the back. Just want to welcome you. Today's message is, there's a way that seems right to a man whose end is death. There's a way that seems right to a man whose end is the way of death. And so that's the message that we're going to talk about today. That people think they're doing God's will, and they think they're doing, you know, they're pleasing God, they're doing the right thing, but really what they're going the wrong way. And we're going to use King David's to teach us examples of how men make wrong decisions. David was a great, he was a lightning rod to test the hearts of men. We're going to see that today, hopefully. Praise the Lord. So we're glad you're joining us, and we're just waiting for Miss Dawn to get underway. We're going to be having Maurice Sklar, the violinist, will be coming here September 20th and 21st. He'll be Friday night, September 20th, live in concert. Maurice Sklar will be here, Governor Huckabee's favorite violinist. Travels the world with Governor Mike Huckabee, and he's on a cruise with him this week. And in fact, Maurice Sklar will be with us next week. The 20th, next month, a month from Tuesday. And then let's see what else is coming up. We got the Fall Feast coming up, so we'll have a schedule for you. And Don will give you announcements shortly. So we're going to get underway.
Turn the house on. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat 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 Shalom. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Ora v'simcha. Shabbat menucha. Yom Zeh Yisrael. Ora v'simcha. Shabbat menucha. Shabbat menucha. Hey, hallelujah. Israel, this day for Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy. This day for Israel, filled with light and joy, filled with light and joy. The Sabbath of Israel, this day for Israel, filled with light and joy. The Sabbath of Israel, the Sabbath of Israel.
Praise Yeshua.
We just want to bless the Messiah this morning and thank him for all the blessings he gives us. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher natan lanu et derech Yeshua v'mashiach Yeshua.
Amen.
Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has given us the way of salvation
in the Messiah Yeshua. Amen.
Amen.
Into your house.
Oh Lord, I love the house where you dwell and the place where your glory resides. I shall prostrate myself and bow, bend a knee before the Lord my Maker. And as for me, may my prayers to you, O Lord, be at the right time. O God, in your abundant righteousness, answer me with the truth of your salvation.
Amen. Visham
Ruvene Israel et HaShabbat Lasso et HaShabbat Ledorotam Baritolam Visham Ruvene Israel et HaShabbat Lasso et HaShabbat Ledorotam Baritolam
B'nei 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 Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, Odi le'olam, v'shamru, v'nei Yisrael, et ha-shabbat, la'sod et ha-shabbat, le'dorotam barit olam. Ki sheshet yamim asa Adonai, Shemayim v'haaretz
v'shamru v'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat
la'sod et ha-shabbat le'dorotam barit olam Yom ha-shavi shabbat v'nafash Shabbat v'nafash Shabbat v'nafash v'shamru V'nei Yisrael et ha-shabbat La'son et ha-shabbat Le'dorotam barit olam
The children of Israel shall keep the Shabbat, observing it throughout their generations as an everlasting covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was refreshed. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Shabbat to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord.
Amen.
All right, you can pull Joe up in the monitor, his voice, just a little bit.
Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace again. The Lord will prosper them, prosper them that love her. And for the sake of the house of the Lord our God, we say to Jerusalem, Shalom Aleichem. Pray for Jerusalem that there'll be peace no more, for God will bless them, bless them that love her. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem. These words we pray for you. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shalom Aleichem.
Let's bow our heads. Let's pray for the peace of Jerusalem. and for the Messianic community and Jewish people around the world. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and we thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you, Lord, that Shalom, Psalm 122:6 says, pray for the peace, for the Shalom of Jerusalem. And that the Shalom means the peace of the Messiah coming to each heart, each person's heart. When the Messiah comes to us and reveals himself one heart at a time, we just pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to your people Israel. Remove the blinders, remove the scales from their eyes, Lord, from the lowest street sweeper to the highest, to the prime minister, to the generals, to the members of the Knesset and the businessmen and the big movers and shakers in Tel Aviv and all over the country, Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to your people Israel. Show them their heart, reveal their state, their condition with you, Lord, and help them to wash them. Open those fountains that you promised, Lord, to wash them. Lord, we pray also that you give them wisdom, dealing with they're being threatened by Hezbollah right now. They're always being threatened, and Hezbollah. We pray that you give them wisdom as they deal with threats from the north now, that you would deal with their enemies according to your justice and your vengeance, Lord, that you would deal with Israel's enemies, Lord. And let the bombs, let the rockets fall in the fields, fall in the desert. Let the rockets fall in the ocean or blow up on the launch pad, Lord, we pray in the name of Yeshua. Lord, we pray for the Messianic leadership in the United States, that you would give them vision and boldness. We pray, Lord, that you would remove the spirit of Shebna from our leadership, from our high executive leadership, that you would remove any spirit of Shebna, and that you would give our leaders the spirit of Eliakim, Lord, a spirit of Eliakim, a spirit of the Father. It says, the Bible says, we have many teachers, but we have few fathers. Give us fathers, Lord, in our movement, Lord. Let our leaders be fathers and not self-seeking people who are out for selfish gain and vain glory. Lord, we pray that you do that and remove those who have the spirit of Shebna. Lord, we pray for the salvation of the Jewish people, of the chosen people in the exile and here in America, that you would remove the scales from their eyes, Lord, and reveal yourself just as you did to me back in the 90s, Lord, that you would do the same for them, that people would seek you on their own, in their own way, that they would seek to know God and the God of their fathers, the God of their ancestors, Lord. And they would seek to know you and ask you questions and read your Bible, Lord, and learn of you, I pray, Lord, and that you would send people into their lives to witness to them. I pray especially for my own family, my brothers and sisters and my cousins, my nieces, I have grandnieces and nephews, and pray for their salvation today, Lord. Pray for the rabbis, that you would give them boldness and courage as they preach, and not fear of man, not fear of people who have money, and let them not be people pleasers, but give them boldness to preach the truth in love. And we just give you the praise and the glory. Lord, be with Karen today, our friend Karen, near Knoxville. Lord, we just pray for her. She's been on our hearts, and we just lift her up, her situation and her needs. I pray, Lord, for my friend Janet, Lord, who's struggling with heart issues and tests. I pray also, Lord, for Jackie, whose husband has had his leg amputated below the knee. I just pray that you lift her arms and help him to make a recovery. Lord, and all the people out there that need prayer, and our congregation, we just lift them up. We pray for Aja, for healing in her hip. Lord, that you get her to the right doctor and get her the right treatment. All the needs that we have here today, Lord, we lift them up to you. Pray for Wendell, for his nerves, that his nerves would calm down, and not his emotional nerves, but his nerves of pain. And that you would heal him, Lord, of the burning that he gets from that. Pray, Lord, for Terry. We thank you for the praise report for his, that the tumor was normal. It hasn't grown any. It hadn't grown in a year. And we thank you that you just obliterate that tumor and that you destroy it. And we thank you for our friends Terry and Anna up there in Virginia. We just give you praise for them, Lord. And we pray, thank you, Lord, for Gene and Claudia today. We haven't seen them in a while. We pray for them and for Deborah. We bless her, and maybe she's working. All those who are stuck in race traffic are not coming because of the race. We pray for them. In Yeshua's name, we bless in the name of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And now the Lord says, we do this.
Yes.
And now the Lord says, he who formed Israel in the womb to be its servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself. For he is honored in the eyes of the Lord, and God has been his strength. Is it too small a thing for Israel to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel he has kept? He will also make Israel a light for the Gentiles, that he may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.
Avinu,
Malkeinu,
Maker of all things,
Maker of all things,
ruling o'er the works of your hands,
of your hands.
You loved us so,
you loved us so,
you sent your Son,
you sent your Son,
to take our sin.
Our Father in heaven, holy is your name.
Avinu,
Malkeinu,
Maker of all things,
Maker of all things. So
you sent your Son,
you sent your Son,
to take our sin and shame.
Our Father in heaven,
holy
is your name.
So I'll stand for the Shema.
Please rise for the Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto, Leolam Vaed, V'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, B'chol levavcha, U'b'chol nafshecha, U'b'chol me'odecha, V'hayu ha'divarim ha'ele, Asher enochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha, V'shinatam levanecha, V'dibarta baham, B'shivtecha b'veitecha, U'b'lechtecha v'derech, Uveshachbacha, Uvekumecha, Ukishartam, Liot al Yadecha, Vahayu atotafot benenecha, Ukhatavtam, Almazazot betecha, Uvisharecha.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed is the name of his glorious kingdom for all eternity. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might, and have these words which I command you this day be upon your heart. And you shall teach them diligently to your children. Speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you retire, and when you arise. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. Let them be frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and upon your gates.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. What's next, Miss Dawn?
going to do a Torah portion. Torah.
Sure. Wendell and Xavier, would you prepare to come in to the Torah and carry the Torah? And Wendell, would you help Xavier? Malchutcha, malchut kol olamim, umimshelticha b'chol dor v'dor. Adonai melech, Adonai malach, Adonai imloch li'olam ba'ed. Adonai oz li'amo yitain, Adonai yivarech et amo b'shalom. There is none like you among the gods, O Lord.
And there is nothing like your works.
Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom.
And your dominion is throughout all generations.
The Lord reigns, the Lord has reigned, the Lord will reign forever and ever.
The Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will give his people with peace.
Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Even so, Aaron, Vayem and Moshe, Kuna, Adonai, Via Futsu, Oivecha, Via Nusu, Misanecha, Mipanecha, Ki Mitzion, Tetse, Torah, Ki Mitzion, Tetse, Torah, Udavar, Adonai, Mirushalayim, Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Baruch Shenatan Torah Torah Le'amo Yisrael B'dushato. When the ark would travel, Moses would say, Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered, and let them that hate you flee from you. For from Zion will go forth the Torah, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Blessed be he who in his holiness gave the Torah to his people Israel. Amen. Ya'amod Asher ben Zedekiah, Baruch et Adonai Hamavorah,
Baruch Adonai Hamavorah Le'am Vahed,
Baruch Adonai Rach Yom Vahed,
Baruch
Adonai Eloheinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Bachar Bani Mikol Hamim, Ve'na'atan lanu et Torto, Baruch atah Adonai, Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless the Lord, the blessed one. Blessed is the Lord, the blessed one for all eternity. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has chosen us from all peoples and given us his Torah. Blessed are you, O Lord, giver of the Torah.
Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated.
Okay. Today's Torah portion is Vayet Ka'an, which means I pleaded. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 3 through chapter 7. Just want to say one thing. I have a picture of a gentleman, Leo Frank, on my tallit this morning. And he was, the reason I wear this, I wear it every year on his anniversary of his death, which is August the 17th, 1915. He was a Jewish man who was innocent of charges, but a mob hanged him down in Marietta, Georgia, and from his death, the Anti-Defamation League was actually formed. But the reason I have a connection to him is because his story passes through Bristol. Actually, near this synagogue here, a gentleman in his 80s was dying over here at Jones Manor, and he called the Bristol, Virginia Police Department to give a statement to them, and it was about Leo Frank, that he had seen the murderer commit the crime, and Leo Frank was not the person. So right now in the state of Georgia, the guy's name over there was Alonzo Mann, and that was about 1982. And so right now in May of this year, the state of Georgia has reopened Leo Frank's case to give him a complete and full pardon. So I'm hoping and praying that God will do that. It's terrible to be charged with a crime you didn't commit, but it's even worse when the police department permits a mob to take you out of jail and hang you until you're dead and just desecrate your body. So that's why on this particular day in August, I always remember Leo. So today we have, it says, I plead, and we begin on this Shabbat. We start the seven Shabbats of what's called comfort, and those are leading up to the High Holy Days that we will hear a little bit about when those are going to be scheduled shortly. You know, God says to Moses to tell the people to comfort his people, and that comes out of Isaiah. Nahamu, Ami. And it says to comfort my people. You see, Moses is pleading to God. He wants to enter into the promised land, but God has told Moses that he will not be permitted to enter in. You see, Moses continues to pray to God. But what is prayer? Prayer is talking to God about something. And when you pray, you should always follow your prayers with a time of praise and worship. You know, God tells Moses, it reaches a point that God says, do not speak any further about going into the promised land. And so God has closed the door. But does that mean that God, when God closes the door for you, does that mean that God did not love Moses or God did not love you? You see, he prayed from his heart, his soul, and his might that he would get to go into the promised land. You see, but what is love? Love in Hebrew is a verb, And it shows its affection towards someone or something. In Hebrew, love is ahava, but God's love to us comes from the root word, which is hava, and hava means fidelity. God is telling us his love is means that you're the only one. He loves you just like you're the only person, and he has fidelity. There is no other but you. God loves us each individually. You see, today's parasha has two of the most recognized parts of the Torah in God's Word today. And the Ten Commandments are the first ones. They are called in Hebrew Asrat HaDibrot, which means the Ten Sayings or the Ten Words. And that is either twice in the Scriptures, and that is Exodus 20 and also in Deuteronomy chapter 5, which is part of this parasha today. And then the second thing that is the most important in this, in the center of all prayer of Judaism, is the Shema. And it, God is telling us, and we just prayed that to this morning, to love God and to love your neighbor. That was the commandments that Yeshua gave to the people when he said, "Hear, O Israel." You see, those words are just as important today as they were when Moses penned them. But you see, Moses would never get into getting into the promised land. You know, as you look at the Vehaftah, that tells us that the Aleph and the Tav are there, that, and there's no actual words that can explain it. Just, it's a sign of the Messiah. When you see the Aleph, which is the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and the Tav, which is the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, those are words that don't say anything. They just represent the sign of the Messiah. That is the Aleph and the Tav. You know, but Moses had to be bold, but God would not change what he had told Moses. Moses was not able to convince God to change his mind about going into the promised land. You see, what's so unusual about the book of Deuteronomy is that it is actually a love letter from God to the Jewish people and to us. They were his treasured possession. They were God's chosen people. And the treasure was the Segulah, which is treasure. The Torah is about all about love, and it's about God's love for his people. You see, a call of his people to respond, that's what we're to do. When God loves us, we are to respond to God, to love him, and also to live according to his instructions. That's what the scriptures are about. The mitzvahs are instructions of life. God is telling us, this is how I want you to live your life, to be honorable with your family, how to raise your family, how to take care of your family. If you own a business, how to operate your business. So God's instructions to us should be a part of our everyday life. But God does permit Moses to go to Mount Nebo, and from there Moses was able to see all of the land of Israel. And I think when he was there, I think God gave him a glimpse, as he did Abraham. I think he received a prophetic vision or a revelation of what was going to happen in the land of Israel and what was going to happen as time went forward into the promised land. So that's the Torah portion for this morning. Shabbat Shalom.
Bezod HaTorah Asher Shom Moshe Livne Bnei Yisrael Oki Adonai Beyad Moshe. And this is the Torah that Moses placed before the children of Israel at the command of the Lord through Moses' hand.
Lama kazikimba vetomkhecha mehushar derachecha darchenom vechonativotecha
wisdom is a tree of life to those who hold fast to her, and all who hold her are blessed. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Cause us to be turned to you, O Lord, and we shall return. Renew our days of old. Amen. You may be seated. Well, it's great to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Every week we get to come and refresh ourselves, renew ourselves, rededicate ourselves, reconnect with one another, and prepare us for the battle for the coming week. Amen. And reconnecting to one another is important. And I just want to challenge you all to make that a priority. You know, in our internet world, we are interconnected in so many different ways, and sometimes we don't seek to connect personally as much. And I try to make it a personal goal, and because it's, I guess, a little weakness sometimes, to really just reach out and call somebody, you know, that's on my heart every once in a while. And we get so busy, I do as well. And so that's basically what we're doing here on Shabbat. We've decided to come here and make a phone call to heaven, all right? and let's talk to Yeshua. We're undistracted. We have nothing to keep our eyes off of him. So we are in this little bubble, and it's our time and our space to reconnect with the Lord. And so I thank you, God, for this wonderful synagogue and our wonderful group of people. And we want to invite those of you out there, if you've never been to our congregation, our Yehuda Messianic congregation here in Bristol, Virginia, Tennessee, we're right on the line. Please come and visit. Come check us out. And if God is calling you to serve the Jewish people, come and serve. This is your place to serve in this area. If you are called to the Jewish people, if you're Jewish, and either you're a believer, or even if you're not a believer, we welcome you here. It's a place to raise your children in your heritage in as Jewish families. And so make that a priority. If you're in a church and you don't have any place for Passover, Sukkot, you know, the fall feasts, come and make this your place, your home, where you can build a family, where you can build connections to Israel, where you can build traditions in your family in a community. And that's what our Messianic congregation is for. We can't worship the Lord on the Shabbat or Sabbath on our own. We have to do it together. That's what God commands us to do. Amen? It's not an individual thing. We are corporately here for the Lord, for the Lord. Solemn assembly. That's right. It's important. Hallelujah. So stay connected. If go to Facebook if you haven't already. That is our connection to the world. Our connection to Israel is right here. Okay. The internet is the connection to the world. And we invite you to like us on Facebook for Zion's sake. And also Ari Yehuda. We have an Ari Yehuda page on Facebook. For ZionSake.org is our website. So go there. There's all kinds of information and all the announcements, all the wonderful events that we have going on here, the special things that we promote to minister to you, to reach out and to bring part of Israel, the message of Israel to you. That's part of what Rabbi does on a continual basis, is bring quality ministry, whether it's music or message, from the outside into this, our region, so that you have access to it. So I'm going to tell you about some of the really special things. But go to our website to pick up on all the new things that are going on there, and for the fall feasts and for this year. And also just information, general information about our ministry. So we welcome you to do that.
and just send us a note, whether it's on Facebook or through email, how you like what's going on, if you have any questions. You know, Rabbi's available from time by appointment if you need to talk with him. And we have office staff here who would be happy to answer any other questions for you. So call that number, email us, or just go to Facebook, either way. So coming up, first of all, we've got an Oneg today, is that right? And we're going to be having a meeting for the fall feast. So those of you who are here, we're going to be planning what's going to go on. And it's going to be God's plan, but we've got to put some effort into it, right? So Rosh Hashanah is coming up. And Vicki, our secretary, has been busy downstairs. She's doing a lot of things for us. I thank you. Thank the Lord for Vicki. And she's ordered us. Helped us sort of order our new calendars for this year. And these are awesome. We've had photo calendars for the last probably four or five years. But this is the first art calendar that we've had in a while. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful. So I encourage you to either call in and get these or pick one up in the back. And $17.99. And those of you who are members get a special discount. So I want to just remind you that. So here in September, let's see, it was the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi, when is that? September. September 29th is the beginning of the fall feast. Okay, so that's where all our dates are going to start. And if you get this calendar, you'll know what God's calendar is. You'll know what's on His appointment book right here. Okay. Rabbi says these actually came shipped in from Israel. We work with a Messianic ministry over there who does the calendars, who does Judaica and. We work with them at Galilee of the Nations, and so this is directly from Israel. Okay, it's got like walking the steps of Yeshua. This it's from Israel. Hallelujah! It's got the anointing of the land on it. All right, get your calendar. And so the next event coming up, as Rabbi had mentioned at the beginning of the service, is September 20th. We have Maurice Sklar. He's a master violinist and psalmist. And is there any way you can project this and let it on the video or anything like that, if you can? Yeah. If you can. So this is, it's the weekend, it's the whole weekend. Maurice Sklar is a master violinist. He's on the level, he's just world-class level violinist. And we have all information about who he is on our website, so you can go there. If you remember Paul Wilbur, you know, the first album he did, Shalom Jerusalem, in that auditorium. I don't know if you ever saw the video of him in that auditorium just filled. It was in Jerusalem, on the YMCA, I believe that's the YMCA auditorium that they did that video in. And anyway, Maurice Sklar was the violinist, if you remember that beautiful intro into the whole orchestral and worship and praise. It was just one of the most iconic praise and worship video concerts of our generation, which the new generation is taking over, but our generation. So Maurice Sklar has been around for a long time. He is a prophetic minister as well, and he moves powerfully in the spirit, but he is also just an amazing violinist. And so please do not miss this. September 20th, we're going to start off Friday night right here, 7 p.m. in this synagogue. And then Saturday morning, he'll be joining us for service. It'll be a little less, but he'll still be here. Then we've got Sunday, September 22nd at 11 a.m. at First Presbyterian Bristol. Okay? He'll be giving some short concerts during the morning Sunday service, and then in the afternoon, 4 p.m. Saturday, he'll be giving another concert at First Presbyterian in Bristol. Okay, so put that on your calendar. There's flyers, spread the word. If you get the email, which we should be sending you out, people who are on our list, the info email, take that email and send it to all your friends, okay? And like it on Facebook and share it with people on Facebook. That's the way one way to get it out, in addition to just inviting 4 or 5 people and having them come with you, okay? Now, we've got the fall feasts, and as I said, they're going to start September 20. You can keep, do you want to, what we can do is when we take the offering, what we can, if you can cue something up, we can play something of Maurice Sklar for the offering.
Yeah, you can look up the opening to Shalom Jerusalem.
I think that's Shalom Jerusalem, the opening. Is that it? That's it, okay. So we'll play that for the offering here in a minute, and you can see a little taste, get a little taste of Maurice. So don't forget about the fall feast starting the end of September, and we're going to put together dates today during our meeting. So next week we'll have some, begin to have a hard schedule for you as far as, you know, what's going on during those feast times. And then the third and the last thing, I just want to remind everyone to pray. Joshua's working on his bar mitzvah. That will be scheduled in October. The end of October, or it might be actually during Sukkot, we might have his special bar mitzvah during Sukkot, which would be a nice thing. So just pray for him. He's working on his stuff, his Hebrew and his message, and he's learning to begin to enter into responsibility before the Lord. Amen. Did I miss anything, Rabbi? Okay, I'm going to hand it back over. Praise the Lord.
Shabbat shalom, y'all. Howdy. That's Jewish for shalom. I'm Rabbi Joe, and we want to welcome you folks online. We are your Southern Messianic connection and Messianic Jewish connection. We are your local connection to Israel if you live here. And maybe for some of you, we are your local connection, period, because we are your congregation online. So we're glad if you watch us and you enjoy our worship, our teaching, if you enjoy our little congregation, you know, we're a small congregation, but we're tall in spirit, and we're tall, and as Brother Bill said, we're tall in the Word. So we got a lot of Word here, and we got a lot of spirit, and we got beautiful people. So if you're looking for a place to come, as Don said, if you're out living up in the city and you want to come to a place that has no state income tax, come to Tennessee. We're right on the line. We're actually in Virginia here, but you can just drive a mile, or you can cross the line into Virginia. But you can live in Tennessee and pay no state income tax, only property tax. And we invite you down. If you're looking to get out of the city, and high taxes, high cost of living. I paid, I think gas was $2.24 yesterday. A gallon. So if you want to, you know, a change of pace, you want to move to a beautiful place in the country, come to Bristol, Tennessee, and join us. Come and join us. Well, we're going to take up our offering, and if you'd like to order a calendar, they're $17.99. You can order them. They're beautiful calendars from Israel, art calendars. Just you can hit the donate button on there and just put calendar and give us your address. Make sure you give us your address and name and email so that if you order a calendar, we can send it to you. And we need your name, address, and email and telephone in case we can't, you know, there's a mistake or anything. We want to make sure we get it to you, okay? So if you want a calendar, they're $17.99, and just contact you, make a donation, and we'll send it out to you, okay? We're going to continue with our service, and I'm going to pray for the offering today. We've had a $25,000 matching gift challenge. We are almost there. I'd say we're about $5,000 or $7,000 away from meeting our $25,000 matching gift challenge. Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. So we just need to raise about $7,000. I said by the end of August to meet our matching gift challenge. And, you know, this is the first summer that our congregation hasn't been in the red in probably 10 years or more. I can't remember a summer when we weren't in the red, when we didn't have debt that was up to our eyeballs. You know, we're not in the red. And I praise God for that. You know, God has blessed us. And so thank you, Lord. And thank you, folks, for giving and helping us. We've had two major 100-year floods the past year, a lot of damage to our synagogue, and folks have stepped up and contributed. So, Lord, bless this offering, bless the giver, bless the gift, bless those giving online, bless those giving here. Bless them 100-fold, Lord, for what they give today, Lord, and help us to meet our goal of $25,000, matching $25,000. And we just give you the praise and the glory and the honor that we get to give you back a little 10% of what you give to us, Lord, and love offerings for those who don't go here regularly. We give you thanks and praise in Yeshua's name. Amen. And we're going to play Maurice Sklar. Somebody could turn the lights off up here while we take the offering, then you could see it. And maybe turn that volume up. This is Maurice Sklar playing the violin. Thank you.
Hey, are you tired of the media spinning the truth and put...
that's like the difference between Billy Graham and Billy Carter. Oh, gosh. Pray to God. Or Billy Graham and Bill Clinton. Yeah. that's more like it. Wasn't that beautiful?
Amen.
How many of you have never seen that before? Raise your hand. Okay. If that didn't move your heart, if that didn't stir you, isn't it? And that's the violinist that's coming here. Maurice is coming here on Friday night, September 20th at 7 p.m. Bring your friends. Pass out flyers. He will have you in tears. He's prophetic. He'll prophesy over you. He'll minister and prophetically. It's going to be a fantastic night, and he'll be here Shabbat too on Saturday morning. Then he'll be at First Presbyterian on Sunday for their service. And you can go to our website for information. Those folks who are watching the flyer is right there online. So God bless you all, and thank you for giving and contributing and helping support. You know, when you support your local Messianic synagogue, you are fighting anti-Semitism. When you support your local Messianic Jewish synagogue, you are fighting anti-Semitism in your area and your community. Amen? And so thank you. Thank you to our friends out there. And, you know, when you support... my son told me last year, he said, "Dad, I'm the only Jewish kid in my high school." And, I'm sure people from his high school probably aren't watching, but, you know, you mind if I talk about it for a minute, Isaac, what you told me? Yeah. And he told me, you know, Isaac's a big guy, he's a football player, and he can take care of himself, you know, but, you know, kids who don't know him, he told me, give him, you know, say things like Heil Hitler and Sieg Heil to him, you know, and he's very good natured. He's a very gentle young man. He's a sweet young boy, sweet boy, but you know, he could probably hurt somebody if he wanted to, but he's not going to do that because he knows he wants to play football. He wants to be on the football team, so he puts up with it, you know, from time to time. But mostly, they treat you pretty good, guys, don't they, in the schools here? Yeah, the joking. But even joking, it's they think it's joking, but it's really, you know. He says something when it's over the limit. But, you know, that's what we face here. So when you support our ministry, you're supporting... you're fighting anti-Semitism because we've planted ourselves here. We've planted the flag of Israel right here in Bristol, Tennessee, and Virginia. We've planted the flag and we've taken the ground here and we've made a stand and that's it. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's move on, Miss Dawn.
All right, well, let's bless the Lord, oh my soul. Let's all stand up. Sometimes I don't always do this, but I'm just going to direct you a little bit in your worship. like they did in Israel. What's that? I gave you an extra copy. I'm sorry. It should be there. Put it on your stand. Yeah, thank you. Can you just make sure he's got those three extra songs? Hallelujah. Let's all put our hands in the air. Hands in the air, everybody. Hands in the air. All right. And then we're just going to go up, 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 because we just love him. Let's lift him up, okay? All right, it's like exercises in heaven, because let me tell you, it says in the Bible to raise your hands, okay? This is not like I'm making it up. It's like David and all the people in the congregation in Israel used to, they raised their hands before the Lord. So We're going to do it. Let's bless the Lord. And so I bless you, Lord. Let's all say that. I bless you.
I bless you, Lord, today. Bless you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And now let's bow down before him. Lord, we just bow down before you. Hallelujah. And we bless you. We give you blessing today. Hallelujah.
Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, my soul.
to the Lord, sing a new song. Sing it to the Lord, all the earth. Sing it to the Lord and bless His name. Claim His salvation from day to day. Sing it to the Lord and bless His name. Claim His salvation from day to day.
What's your new song today? Bless us from your sanctuary, as it says in Psalm 20, that we will shout for joy. We will shout for joy when we are victorious. Basically, he is saying the whole congregation of heaven will shout for joy when us as a congregation are successful, as we press in, as we get the victory. Hallelujah. Thank you.
May the Lord answer you when you are in distress. May the name of the God of Jacob protect you.
Looking over into the promised land, and God gave him a vision from the north to the south of all that was to be. And heavenly armor will enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord.
Raise up the
Hallelujah, Lord. We call on your power, Lord. Hallelujah, your strength and your power. Your strength and your power are what sustain us. What brings the battle to a victory? We call on your power and
behold who you are.
Shivers. Anybody else have the shivers? Thank you, Lord. Breathe on us. Breathe on us, Lord. Rain down on us. Rain down on us, Lord. Rain. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Rain your healing. Rain your strength. Rain your power. Rain your purpose. Rain your people. Rain your provision. Rain your blessings. Rain upon us, Lord. Rain on us. Rain, O God. Rain, Holy Spirit. Ruach HaKodesh. Rain on us, Lord. Rain now. Rain on us, Lord. Rain your power. Rain your glory. Rain your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. Rain your healing. Rain your strength. Rain your power. Rain your provision, your blessing. Thank you, Lord. Meet every need in this room and those watching. Lord, meet every need for healing, every need for to pay a bill, every need, Lord, for whatever is going on, for healing in a family, healing between family members, spouses and husbands, parents and children, sisters and brothers, friends from long ago, friends past and friends present, Lord. Bring healing. Heal us, O God, and we shall be healed. Restore us, and we shall be restored. Save us, and we will be saved. Thank you, Lord. We are going to go to the Lord's table right now. And if you're watching, I invite you to get some fruit of the vine, a cup of fruit of the vine of your choice. Get some bread or some matzah, some crackers, whatever you have handy. We're going to bless it. If you want to get that, and we're going to go to the table of the Lord, the Shulchan Adonai, the Lord's table. And so please prepare yourself at home if you want to join us. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to ask Sharon, would you like to serve today? And Maria, would you like to serve? Okay, thank you.
Baruch atarna Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth the fruit of the vine. Amen.
Baruch atarnai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Blessed art thou, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth, and Yeshua, the bread of life, who rose from the earth on the third day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. On the night he was betrayed, on Passover night, in Luke 22, it tells us it was Passover. It wasn't Christmas. It wasn't April Fool's. It wasn't July 4th of July. It wasn't Independence Day. It wasn't Secretary's Day. It was Passover, the very same day that God took the people out of Israel, out of Egypt, delivered his people, his children of Israel, out of Egypt, the very same day of Passover, some 1,400 years after Moses took them out of Egypt. And God delivered them on Passover and redeemed his people. And on that same Passover holiday, 1,400 years or so later, God sent his son to Jerusalem, and he became the Passover lamb. And he became the once and final atonement, that all those lambs that were sacrificed were a picture of the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He gave his life on a cross outside the city. He died for you and me. He was buried 3 days and three nights, and he rose from the dead on the third day. Hallelujah. Conquering the power of sin and death. And if you believe in him, as Psalm 2 says, do homage to the Son. God says, for he so loved the world that whoever believes in him, his Son, his only begotten Son, will not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, dear friend, why would you perish? Just believe in the Son. Trust in him. You have nothing to lose by trusting in Jesus, in Yeshua. Jesus the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, not the Palestinian, the Jew. It said over his cross, it said King of the Jews, not the Palestinians. Hallelujah. God bless the Palestinians, but Jesus was a Jew. Praise the Lord. He was Jewish, he is Jewish, and he's coming back Jewish. And those who claim otherwise are going to be in for a rude awakening. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we bless these elements as we remember the blood of his covenant. He said, this is this wine that's poured out for you. Is the blood of my covenant, is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sin. We Jews at Passover, we call it the cup of redemption. And then he took the bread
the Afikomen taken after the meal, and he broke it into small pieces and said, "Take this. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Now, as you think about it, he said, "Take this as my body." But it isn't his body. You're his body. You're the body of Messiah. This is not a piece of bread, not a cup of wine. So sometimes in Jewish interpretation, we use a metaphor, and it's part of Jewish interpretation. It doesn't mean this is the literal body and blood of Jesus Christ. He was crucified. He's not still on the cross. He's already been buried, and he rose from the dead. He's sitting at the right hand of God. He's not on a cross somewhere. You can't go to a tomb and find his body. Amen? Amen. His body's not on this plate. And his blood is in this represents his body and his blood. Amen? And if you believe that, then we invite you to come and partake of this cup of the love of God. The love of God, the healing of God, the provision of God, the blessing of God, the gifts of God, eternal life, forgiveness, salvation, all the wonderful things, the riches of God in Messiah Yeshua, the riches of God in Messiah Yeshua are available. Come to the table of the Lord and receive his grace in Yeshua's name. Thank you, Lord. Come as you're ready. Amen.
Breathe.
lifeless bones, for I have no life, but what I have is life in you, everlasting, ever abundant life is only
going to say that, Maria. Thank you. Yes, all your sides are good.
Extra dessert for Maria today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are we on there, Facebook, Isaac? Is it already on? Is it on? Okay. Well, welcome, Facebook friends. I'm Rabbi Joe, and today's message is there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your anointing. Empty your servant of empty me of Joe, and forgive my sins, Lord. Wash me and make me a vessel of your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. Bring forth your word now through me, and anoint our ears to hear and our eyes to see what you have, truth from your word. And Lord, bind the enemy in the name of Yeshua, and give us strength. Give us all strength, and renew us this Sabbath day, this Shabbat, Lord, this Shabbat, in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your Shabbat. You know, the Bible says in Luke 4 that as was his custom, if you read Luke 4 and you wonder when Jesus worshipped, you know, he used to have those wristbands that said, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus would be in the synagogue on the Sabbath. The Bible says in Luke 4, in the New Testament, everybody say the New Testament. In the New Testament, because we're a New Testament Jewish congregation, amen?
Amen.
But we're also an Old Testament Jewish congregation. We're an old and new we're a complete Jewish Bible congregation. Amen? And so it says in Luke 4 that as was his custom, Yeshua, Jesus, went to the synagogue to worship on the Sabbath every week. And Paul did the same thing. It says as he went to the synagogue as was his custom on the Sabbath day. I don't know why people make such a big deal about, you know, yes, you can worship God any day of the week, but if you want to keep the Sabbath, come join us. You don't have to be Jewish. You just have to love Yeshua. You have to love Jesus.
Yes, I know.
And come to the house of the Lord on the Sabbath day. Put your lawnmower away. Put your Belk's card away. Put your, stop working in your yard. Get your tanning lotion off. Put on a polo shirt and a pair of khakis, and come on down to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Here at our Yehuda Messianic Congregation, right here in Bristol, Virginia. Come worship Come worship the Lord Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah. Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah. All right. I'm preaching. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. King David was a man. Everybody say, King David was a man. But he was also a lightning rod of righteousness who removed shades of gray and fogginess, exposing the hearts, intentions, and deeds of men, both good and evil. And the book of 2 Samuel is full of examples where there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 1. And we're going to read about the lying Amalekite. Everybody say the lying Amalekite. The lying Amalekite. Hallelujah. Not the flying Amalekite. Don't fly an Amalekite. This is the lying Amalekite. Now, verse 1. Now it came about after the death of Saul, when David had returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, that David remained 2 days in Ziklag. On the third day, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes torn and dust on his head. And it came about when he came to David, he fell to the ground and prostrated himself. Then David said to him, "From where do you come?" And he said, "I have escaped from the camp of Israel." And David said to him, "How did things go? Please tell me." And he said, "The people have fled from the battle, and also many of the people have fallen and are dead. And Saul and Jonathan his son are dead too." So David said to the young man, who told him? "How do you know?" Excuse me. So David said to the young man who told him, "How do you know this, that Saul and his son Jonathan are dead?" The young man who told him said, "By chance I just happened to be on Mount Gilboa where the battle was, where Saul died. I just happened to be there, like CNN, you know. And behold, Saul was leaning on his spear. And behold, the chariots of the horsemen pursued him closely. When he looked behind him, he saw me, and he called to me and said, 'Here I am.' He said to me, 'Who are you?' And I answered, 'I am an Amalekite.' And he said to me, 'Please, stand beside me and kill me, for agony has seized me, because my life still lingers in me.' So I stood beside him and killed him, because I knew that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown which was on his head and the bracelet which was on his arm, and I have brought them here to my lord." Then David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and so also did the men who were with him. They mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and his son Jonathan, and for the people of the Lord and the house of Israel, because they had fallen by the sword. David said to the young man who told him, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I am the son of an alien, an Amalekite." And then David said to him, "How is it that you are not afraid to stretch out your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" And David called one of the young men and said, "Go cut him down, this young man, Amalekite." So he struck him down and he died. David said to him, "Your blood is on your head, for your mouth has testified against you, saying, 'I have killed the Lord's anointed.'" Now, here is the first example that we see of David's discernment and his wisdom. How many of us, if someone would come and tell us a story, bring us a crown, bring us the signet ring, bring us the symbols of the king, amen? And this young man just happened to be there. And he just happened to be from the people that fought the Israelites on Mount Gilboa. He happened to be from the enemy side. But he had chutzpah. Everybody say chutzpah. Chutzpah. That's gumption around in these parts. That's gumption. In Spanish, it's another word that starts with a C, but I won't say it today, okay? But anyways, he had chutzpah. He had gumption to come. He had a nerve to come to David as an enemy and give him a story. And David took, he didn't, you notice David didn't just rush right in and have say, "Kill this guy," you know, because he struck down the king. David had to think about it. Okay? He didn't react. Everybody say, he didn't react. David did not react. He thought. David thought. He didn't just react. He didn't open his mouth. Your biggest problem with people today is they open their mouth when they need to keep it shut. God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth. God gave us 2 eyes to see and 1 mouth. Our biggest problem in life is that we open our mouth and before we think things through. Okay? I was given a picture of Dr. Maurice Sklar with Governor Mike Huckabee, and they were on a cruise this past week. Well, Governor Mike Huckabee is coming here on Tuesday morning to do a prayer breakfast. He's returning home today, wherever he lives. If he still, I don't know where he lives anymore. Maybe Arkansas, wherever he is. He's returning home today. He was with Maurice Sklar, the violinist, who's coming 1 month from Tuesday. We're having this man, the violinist Maurice Sklar, was in the picture. He was on the cruise with Governor Huckabee, and his wife, the violinist's wife, sent me a picture of the governor. I sent it to you in the congregation. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see it, and if you go to our ministry Facebook page for Zion's Sake and Ari Yehuda, you'll see the picture. It was taken this week of the governor and Mike Huckabee and Maurice Sklar. But I didn't just post the picture. I got it several days ago, and I thought to myself, how shall I use this picture? What shall I do with it? How can I use it to promote the concert without sounding like, you know, without making it about Governor Huckabee, but making it more about the violinist? And I said, Maurice is coming. After I waited, the Lord gave me the words. He said, Maurice is coming. And that's him standing with Governor Mike Huckabee. And Maurice is a famous violinist, and he travels with Governor Huckabee around the world. And he travels, he's Mike Huckabee's, Governor Huckabee's favorite violinist. Come see why. And I gave the time and the website. Come find out why he's Governor Huckabee's, he's on this cruise, and why he's in that picture this week. And Governor Huckabee is supposed to announce our concert at the prayer breakfast coming up in a few days, on Tuesday. So step back. This is a lesson I want to teach you. Some people don't get ahead in life because they open their mouth before they think. And one of the things that I've learned as an employer, and I've been an employer of many people in my life, many, many people. And when I owned a restaurant, one of the things I learned owning a restaurant was when people would rush up to me and say, I need next week off. And I'd say, okay, well, tell you what, let me just look at the calendar. Let me just check the schedule and see how things are. And let me get back to you. And I'd go home and I'd pray about it. And I'd look at the schedule and I'd think about it. I'd think about, well, what's going on next week? Because one of my rules at the restaurant that I owned was that we didn't give vacations or things on spur of the moment. They needed to have certain, like a month or 2 months notice before, you know, people got a vacation or something like that, or took days off. You know, one day was you know, not a problem, you know, but several days, that was an issue. And so God taught me to step back. When people would come up and ask me for difficult things, I learned to step back and say, whoa, I need to chew on this. I'll tell you what, let me get back to you tomorrow. I had a guy one time, and he said, I can't work. We had a female manager, and he was a baker, okay, a bagel maker. He was a bagel maker. And I owned a bagel shop. And so this bagel maker said to me, he said, I won't work for a woman manager. I won't work for a female manager. He was so devout Christian. He said, when you look at me, this guy had the nerve to say, when you look at me, you see Jesus. And I thought to myself, if you're the image of Jesus, maybe I'm in the wrong religion. But I kept that one to myself. But I just thought it. Anyway, he said to me, I won't work for a woman. And I won't answer to a woman. So I'm going to have to quit. And I said, well, can we talk? Let's talk. He was a real good bagel maker. Okay, and bagel makers are hard to find. For people come to me for years. They've been coming to me since I sold that restaurant saying, you know, problems with the bagels. Because it's because of the bagel maker and the bagel baker. That's the problem. You know, and I say, go back and talk to the owner of the restaurant. Don't deal with me. It's not my restaurant anymore. Amen? So anyway, I said to this young man, he said he couldn't work for a woman. I said, let's go to my office and talk. So I said, he said, I'm going to have to quit because I won't work for a woman and I won't take orders from a woman. I said, okay, fair enough. That's your belief. That's your opinion. That's your, you know, your stance. Amen? So I said, you mind if I sleep on it and come back to you tomorrow? And so I slept on it and I prayed about it. I came back to him. We met the next day or 2 days later. We met a day or so later. And the Lord told me what to do. The Lord said, okay, you be his manager. If he won't work for her, let him work for you. So I went to him and I said, I've prayed about it. And this is what I believe I've heard from the Lord. The Lord said, let me be your boss. I'll be your manager. She'll manage the shop and I'll be your direct supervisor. And he said, okay. And he worked another 9 months after that until I had a chance to train up a new bagel. Bagel making's hard stuff. You got to pick up sometimes 25 pounds of dough, stretch it out, cut it, cut off big chunks. I mean, sometimes we're talking throwing sometimes 50-pound bags of flour in a mixer, in a giant mixer, and 50 pounds of flour with gallons of water and all kinds of ingredients. And I used to do it, and I'd pick out these big, long, Isaac, remember? Big chunks of dough and slice them with a big knife and then stretch them out and put them in the former that would make them into bagels. It was very hard work. It was labor intensive, very heavy work, and you know, it's manual labor. So I didn't have another bagel maker, and I didn't feel like being the bagel maker. So I had two choices. I could have fired him, his butt, and kicked him out and said, get lost, hit the road. She's a good manager. Or I did what the Lord told me to do, which was protecting me. And that was to tell him, okay, I'll be your manager. I'll manage you directly. You come to me when you have an issue, and she'll run the shop. And so that's what he did. And he worked 9 months more. God sent another bagel maker. And you know what the guy said on his way out the door? He said to the woman, he said, you know, I've come to appreciate you. I'm sorry for the way I treated you. You're a fine manager, and I would gladly work for you any day of the week, any time. I'd be honored to serve you, and I'm sorry for what I did. And God gave him 9 months or so to repent and to change his attitude. How awesome is that? Sometimes we just have to not react. And that's what makes the difference between privates and colonels. That's what makes the difference between sergeants and colonels or majors or generals. It's their ability to step back and not just blow off their head and get steamed. It's their ability to assess a situation, not show emotion, not display emotion, not react, but to think about things and look at the situation and see what the best solution is. Amen. All right, let's go on here with King David. 2 Samuel chapter 1. So the lying Amalekite, he was lying to David, and what the Amalekite, so what was his motivation? Thank you, Anthony. What was the Amalekite's motivation to help Saul kill himself and say that he did it? For him to go to King David and make up a story, because if the true story is King Saul fell on his own sword, King Saul killed himself. Why would this kid go to David with the king's crown? He stole the crown. He stole it. Well, it was good. That was a good thing because he brought it to David. Amen. He brought it to David. He brought it to the right place. But he made up. He did himself in by saying, "See, he didn't know right from wrong." Everybody say, "He didn't know right from wrong." He didn't know that it was wrong, in the law of the God of Israel to strike the Lord's anointed. It says it in the Bible. It says, "Touch not mine anointed, nor harm my prophets." Amen. Touch not mine anointed. Is it Psalm 103? Nor harm my prophets, nor do any harm to my prophets. Amen? Touch not mine anointed. David knew the word of God. He was a psalmist. He wrote the Psalms. In fact, he probably wrote that very psalm. Somebody look up the verse for me. Touch not mine anointed. Nor do any harm to my prophets. So the lying Amalekite hadn't read the Bible. He didn't know that it was against the law of God and that David knew God's law to strike the king. And so he thought he was doing good, but he had his own agenda. Everybody say, he had a notion. He had a notion. Okay, everybody has a notion out there these days. Everybody has a notion of what's right and what's wrong. Amen? Everybody has a notion. They have an agenda. Everybody, it seems today, has an agenda. This young man wanted a reward. He wanted money, probably. He wanted to be probably around the king. Maybe the king would take him in and let him be, you know, either be a spy or let him serve the king, amen? You know, he thought by telling the King David that he killed Saul that David would be happy. But David wasn't happy. David put him to death for striking the Lord's anointed, amen? So whatever this young man's selfish agenda, whatever his selfish agenda was, it got him killed. It got him killed because he was not thinking about, he really wasn't serving David. He really wasn't serving God. He was self-serving. And self-service is good in a fast food restaurant. Amen? Self-service is good in a buffet. But self-service isn't very good in the kingdom of God. Amen? God isn't into self-serving people. God doesn't like self-serving people. God likes people. And you know, he probably wasn't a believer, but he said it the best, John F. Kennedy, who said, ask not what your country can do for you. I can say it in my Boston accent. And by the way, the Patriots are playing the Titans today at 7 p.m. tonight. You can watch on TV and see Tom Brady take care of business down there in Nashville. I could have been there today, but I came to worship the Lord. I gave up my precious Patriots here in Tennessee to go to worship God on a Sabbath day. Praise the Lord. But the famous man from Brookline, Massachusetts, who was the president of the United States, who was shot down in 1963, John F. Kennedy, said, ask not what you can do for your country, ask what your country can do for you. That's what he said. Amen. Was that pretty good? Oh, it was not bad, not shabby, you know. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country. Praise the Lord. All right. So anyway, I don't get to use my Boston accent very often when I'm here. So anyway, here's very, very true, you know. If this kid really had the heart of God, he would have gone to David and said, Saul fell on his sword. He died, and I've come to you, sir. Please spare my life. I've brought his crown to you, and I didn't touch him. And David would have taken that boy in and given him a place. Yeah. He would have tested him, but he would have given him a place among the people, among the soldiers. You see what I'm saying? For doing what the kindness that he did. You see how you can twist a kindness for your own agenda? He brought the crown, and he brought, what else did he bring? The crown and the bracelet of King Saul to David. But he twisted his purpose, and he lied to David. David caught him in his lie, and he killed him. He gave his life. Praise the Lord. So now, here's another, let's look at another one. Now, there was a King Saul had a son. Everybody say Saul had a son. And his name was Ish-bosheth. Ish-bosheth. Okay? And in chapter 2, verse 8, in chapter 2, verse 8, it says that, now, let's read. But Abner, the son of Ner, commander of Saul's army, had taken Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, and brought him over to Mahanaim, which means two camps. He made him king over Gilead, over the Asherites, over Jezreel, over Ephraim, and over Benjamin, even over all Israel. So Abner was the general, the head of Saul's army, and he anointed, he was like the one of the spiritual and military leaders of Israel, of Saul's kingdom. He was the highest man in the kingdom. Everybody say he was the highest man in the kingdom. Jonathan, the son of the king, was dead. Saul was dead, and Abner was the next most powerful man in the kingdom. And he took Ish-bosheth, another son of Saul, and he anointed him, and he made him king, verse 9, over Israel. And in verse 10, it says, Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, was 40 years old when he became king over Israel, and he was king for 2 years. The house of Judah, however, followed David. So there was a split in the kingdom of Israel. The southern Judah followed David, and the rest of the tribes up north, I mean, Judah and Benjamin, I believe, followed David. Oh, Benjamin, actually Saul was from Benjamin. So it was just Judah. David ruled over Judah, and the rest of Israel followed the northern kingdom. It wasn't the northern kingdom, it was in the north, but it just happened to be. So anyway, let's go on. So Ish-bosheth was king, okay? And now I want to move ahead. There was civil war, and we're going to talk about that, about the civil war. But let's, before we talk about that, let's talk about Ish-bosheth and what happened to him. So he was king for 2 years, and then hang on, let me just find it here. Okay, chapter 4. Now when Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, heard that Abner had died, you see, and we're going to go back to Abner. He was the general, and he died in Hebron. We're going to talk about him, but let's finish with Ish-bosheth. It says that Ish-bosheth lost courage when Abner was killed. And see, there was a civil war going on between Judah and Israel. And so all Israel was disturbed. And so Saul's son had two men who were commanders of bands of the military. The names of one was Baana, and the other was Rechab, sons of Rimmon, the Berachite, and the sons of Benjamin. For Beeroth is considered part of Benjamin. So the Berachites fled to Gittaim and have been aliens there until this day. Now Jonathan, Saul's son, had a crippled son, and we won't go into that. That's Mephibosheth, and he later sat at King David's table when David, ruled over all Israel. He allowed Mephibosheth, who was crippled and lame, to sit at his dinner table every night, every day. He took care of Mephibosheth. He was very kind. He loved David. He loved Jonathan. Was his best friend. Amen. And they loved each other. Many people have made sick comments that they were gay, you know, David and Jonathan, that they weren't. They were so close. They were like brothers. They loved each other as brothers. And so Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, and so David took care of him. But then it says in verse 5, so the sons of Rimmon, the Berethite, Rechav and Baana departed and came to the house of Ish-bosheth in the heat of the day while he was taking his midday rest. As you'll find Wendell taking in a hot day, you'll find him on his bed taking a nice long nap. And so they came in the middle of the day, in the heat of the day, and they came to the middle of the house as if to get wheat, and they struck him in the belly, and Rechav and Baana, his brother, escaped. Now when they came into the house as he was lying on his bed in his bedroom, they struck him and killed him and beheaded him, and I don't know why they do this. And they took his head and traveled all the way to Arabah, way down in the south in the desert. The Arabah is the desert of the south. Then they brought the head of Ish-bosheth to David at Hebron and said to the king, behold, the head of Ish-bosheth, the son of Saul, your enemy, who sought your life. Thus the Lord has given my lord, the king, vengeance this day on Saul and his descendants. What do you think these guys were thinking? They were thinking, we're doing a good thing. We've cut off the king of Israel's head, and we're bringing it to you to show you that now you can be king, and we're helping you out, right? But let's see what David's response was. So they brought the head of Ish-bosheth to David at Hebron, and why? Because they could see that the civil war that was going on between David's kingdom and Judah, based in Hebron, and Saul's kingdom, run by his son Ish-bosheth, the civil war was going more towards David was winning, and that's why these guys killed their king. They killed their king. They killed their king, was taking a nap in a cowardly way, and they cut off his head. They didn't kill him in battle. They killed him in an undignified way. Amen? And they cut his head off. They took it down to Hebron, where David was, because they had a notion. Everybody say they had a notion. They had a notion. Remember that song? I'd like to know where you got the notion. I'd like to know where you got the notion. Well, that's what David said. He said, I'd like to know where you got the notion. And it says, verse 9, David answered Rechab and Baana, his brother, as he sang that song. No, it doesn't say that. The sons of Rimmon the Berethite said to them, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from all distress, when one told me, saying, behold, Saul is dead, and thought he was bringing good news, I seized him and killed him in Ziklag, which was the reward I gave him for his news. How much more, when wicked men have killed a righteous man in his own house, on his bed, shall I not now require his blood from your hand and destroy you from the earth? Then David commanded the young men, and they killed them and cut off their hands and feet and hung them up beside the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ish-bosheth and buried it in the grave of Abner in Hebron. And then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, behold, you are bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. And they made David king. Now, I'm going to go back to that about how David became king of Israel. There was civil war going on. These men who were captains in the army of Israel killed their king of Israel, murdered him in his bed, cut his head off when he was sleeping. Real, war heroes, right? You know, killed him in a cowardly way, brought his head 150 miles down to the desert of Hebron, you know, brought his head all the way down in the hot sun and brought it to David to show him, we killed the king. Well, he was King Saul's son. He was the rightful heir to the throne of Israel. Amen? He was the heir to Israel. And so it goes back to the same thing. David discerned rightly, they thought they were doing a good thing. There is a way, this is the title of this message, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Yes. They thought they were doing a good thing. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. Because they had a notion, because they had an agenda, a self-serving, selfish, prideful, greedy agenda to gain position, to gain prominence, to gain title, to gain wealth, to gain power for themselves and position in David's kingdom, they killed their own king and cut his head off. But David, who knew the law of God and followed God's word, if you read Psalm 119, he was beloved. David, the word David means beloved. He was God's. He was a man after God's heart, the Bible tells us. Amen? David was not a man without sin, but when he repented of his sin, he was a man after God's heart. Amen? And so he knew what was right and what was wrong. David knew good from evil. And so when these men came with the head and brought the head to him, he had them put to death. Why? Because they struck the Lord's anointed again. Saul's son had been made king by a man that David respected as the leader of the armies of Israel in the north, the other kingdom. Abner was a friend of David, and Abner had already promised, let's go back to Abner, and let's talk about Abner now for a minute. Chapter 3, in verse 6. Now, Abner was a general, and he was the general of Saul's army. Okay, and so Abner, it says actually in verse 12 of chapter 2, it says, "Now Abner the son of Ner went out from Mahanaim to Gibeon with his servants of Ishbosheth the son of Saul, and Joab the son of Zeruiah. The servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon." So Joab was David's general, and Abner was Saul's general, okay? So we have the two generals of the armies of Israel and Judah coming together at the pool of Gibeon, okay? And it says, "And Joab, the son of Zeruiah, and the servants of David went out and met them by the pool of Gibeon, and they sat down, one on either side of the pool and on the other side of the pool. Then Abner said to Joab, 'Now let the young men arise and hold a contest before us.' And Joab said, 'Let them arise.' So they arose, went over by count 12 for Benjamin and Ishbosheth, the son of Saul, and 12 of the servants of David. Each one of them seized his opponent by the head and thrust his sword in his opponent's side. So they fell down together. Therefore, that place was called Helkath Hazurim." Helkath Hazurim, the field of sword, i.e. the field of sword edges is what it means. The field of sword edges, which is in Gibeon. That day the battle was very severe, and Abner, the general of Saul, and the men of Israel were beaten before the servants of David. Now the three sons of Zeruiah were, there was Joab, he was David's general, and his brother was Abishai and Asahel. Okay? So Joab, David's general, everybody say David's general. Joab had two brothers, Abishai and Asahel. Asahel was a swift-footed, it says in verse 18 of 2 Samuel 2. It says he was swift-footed as one of the gazelles which is in the field. So after this battle here at the pool, and the men, 24 men died, and there was a battle that day after that 24 men died, it said Asahel pursued Abner, who was the general of Saul, and did not turn to the right or to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, "Is that you, Asahel?" And he answered, "It is. It is I." So Abner said to him, "Turn to your right or to your left and take hold of one of the young men for yourself and take for yourself his spoil." But Asahel was not willing to turn aside from following him. Abner repeated again to Asahel, "Turn aside from following me. Why should I strike you to the ground? How then could I lift up my face to your brother Joab?" However, he refused to turn aside. Therefore, Abner struck him in the belly with the butt end of the spear so that the spear came out of his back. With the flat end of the spear, he went right through his stomach, out his back. Okay? And he fell there and died on the spot. The kid should have listened to him. And it came about that all who came to the place where Asahel had fallen and died stood still. But Joab and Abishai pursued Abner, and they wanted vengeance on their brother. And when the sun was going down, they came to the hill of Ammah, which is in front of Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon. But they couldn't. Abner got away. They didn't get him. Okay. Now, then something interesting happens, okay? Abner switches sides. Abner is the general of Israel, the enemy of David, and he switches sides. And let's see what happened. In verse 6 of 2 Samuel 3, it says, "It came about while there was war between the house of Saul and the house of David that Abner was making himself strong in the house of Saul. Now Saul had a concubine whose name was Rizpah, and daughter of Aiah, and Ishbosheth said to Abner," now Ishbosheth is the king, he says, "Why have you gone into my father's concubine?" Now, why have you lain with my father's concubine, which was a serious crime, worthy of death. Okay? If Abner had done that, had lain with Saul's concubine, it was a penalty. The penalty was death. And Abner says, then Abner was very angry, it says, over the, because he was charging him with murder, with adultery of the king, toward the king. And then Abner was very angry over the words of Ish-bosheth and said, am I a dog's head that belongs to Judah? Today I show kindness to the house of Saul, your father, to his brothers and to his friends, and have not delivered into your hands, and have not delivered you into the hands of David. And yet today you charge me, in fact, he anointed that guy king over Israel and was protecting him. Amen? He was risking his life for Ish-bosheth, and Ish-bosheth charged him with adultery with his father, with Saul's concubine. And he's, you know, he insulted the man, and he, you know, threatened to kill him, essentially. And so, and Ish-bosheth said, may God do so to Abner and more, if as the Lord has sworn to David, I do not accomplish this for him. And this is what he said, to transfer the kingdom from the house of Saul and to establish the throne of David over Israel and over Judah from Dan even to Beersheba. And he could no longer answer Abner a word because he was afraid of him. Ish-bosheth was scared now because now his general was going to David. And he was losing the civil war. He was losing his army. He was losing his, you know, people were losing their confidence in Ish-bosheth. He got scared. He became afraid. Okay, this is before he was killed. And so, you know, I'll tell you something. When you're afraid, when you're a leader, and you're fearful, your people will see it. When you're afraid, your people will see it. Now, it's not a weakness to show a need. Like if you have a sickness, you need prayer. If you have David was sick. You know, he was 70 years old and he was dying, you know. And people took his weakness as a sign of it's time to take over the kingdom. When a ruler is weak, people, or shows fear. Now, David didn't show fear. But when a leader shows fear, people smell it. People, opportunists, will smell fear. And they'll take advantage of that, okay? They'll take advantage of fear. They'll take advantage of weakness. If you're a boss and your employees see you as weak, they'll look for your weaknesses and they'll try to exploit them, okay? They'll exploit your weaknesses. Some will. Some will defend you, but more people will exploit your weaknesses. That's, sadly, the way of the world. There are few good people. So this king was paranoid. Everybody say he was paranoid. And he charged his general with basically raping his father's concubine. So Abner swore that he would transfer the kingdom to David because he realized he couldn't serve this man anymore. Then Abner, verse 12, he sent messengers to David in his place saying, whose is this land? Make your covenant with me, and behold, my hand shall be with you to bring all Israel over to you. He said, good, I will make a covenant with you, but I demand one thing of you, namely, you shall not see my face unless you bring first Michal, Saul's daughter, his wife, David's first wife, when you come to see me. So David sent messengers to Ish-bosheth, Saul's son, saying, give me my wife Michal, to whom I was betrothed for 100 foreskins to the Philistines. And they brought her. And she had a different husband at that time. So he chased her, and he was weeping, it says. Her husband went with her, weeping as he went, and followed her as far as Bahurim. Then Abner said to him, go return. So he returned. He lost his wife. Now Abner had consultation with the elders of Israel, and saying, in times past, you were seeking for David to be king over you. Now then, do it, For the Lord has spoken of David, saying, by the hand of my servant David, I will save my people Israel from the hand of the Philistines and from the hand of all their enemies. Abner also spoke of the hearing of Benjamin. In addition, Abner went to speak to the hearing of David in Hebron, all that seemed good to Israel and to the whole house of Benjamin. So what did Abner do? He went to the elders of the people and he said, God has spoken. David shall be king over all Israel. God has declared it. God has proclaimed it. It's time to make David the king and give us victory and stop the civil war. So David, he set up a meeting with David. Amen. It says in verse 20, then Abner, after talking to the elders, so he didn't just act on his own. He didn't just act on his own and say, I'm going to go what those other men did. He did, you know, and got themselves killed. He spoke to the elders. People, before you make a big move, before you make a big decision, speak to the elders. Get wise counsel. If it's financial, go to people who have financial knowledge. If it's spiritual, go to a spiritual leader or two or three and get counsel. Amen? If it's about yard work, go to someone who does yard work. If it's tree trimming, go to two or three tree trimmers and get advice. Amen? You know, if it's the legal question, go to a lawyer or two or three and get legal advice before you make a major decision that could change the course of your life. And so before Abner gave up his role as general of Israel and went to give the kingdom to David, he went to the elders of Israel and said, this is what God is saying. Does it seem right to you as it does to me? And they all said, yes, it does. Amen? Amen. So he went, because there is safety in a multitude of counsel. And so David met with him in verse 20 of chapter of 2 Samuel 3. Then Abner and 20 men went with him to David at Hebron, and David made a feast for Abner and the men who were with him. And Abner said to David, let me arise and go and gather all Israel to my lord the king, that they may make a covenant with you, that you may be king over all your soul desires. So David sent Abner away, and he went in peace. So David made a covenant with Abner. They became friends. They were at war up until that meeting. And all of a sudden they made a covenant. And Abner said, I'm going to bring you the kingdom into your hands, David. Amen? And he went back on a good mission. Everybody say it was a good mission. He was going home. And said, and behold, the servants of David. So David sent Abner away. Abner went in peace. It says he left to go back and do what he said he was going to do. He made a covenant with David. So what was David's plan? David's plan was for Abner to deliver the kingdom of Israel into his hand. Do you get it? Amen. But here's what happened. Remember, who did Abner kill? Who was that guy that was chasing him that he warned him? Don't turn to the right or the left, but get away from me, buddy. Who was that guy? His name was Azahel, and he was the brother of the general of David, Joab. So let's read on here in chapter 3, verse 22. And behold, the servants of David and Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil with them. But Abner was not with David in Hebron, for he had sent him away, and he had gone in peace. When Joab, the guy that was killed's brother, and all the army that was with him arrived, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the guy who killed your brother, came to the king, and he sent him away, and he was gone in peace. Now David's made peace with him, made a covenant with him. David, the king, said, made an agreement with Abner to deliver the kingdom of Israel into his hands. And Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why then have you sent him away? He's questioning the king, and he's already gone. Was it his business, the general, to go to the king of Israel, of Judah? The king, and really the king of Israel, to go to the king and question him? I'm going to tell you something, people. I've worked for many high and mighty men, leaders in Israel. I've worked for the leader of the Messianic Jewish community for 12 years. I worked directly for the leader of Jews for Jesus for 2 years. You know, the ministry of Jews for Jesus, a major Jewish ministry. You know, God has put me on the adjutant general staff, so to speak. Okay, I've been a staff. If I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, I've been on the staff of generals. Is that correct, Anthony? Am I telling it straight? I've been on the staff of generals, and not only have I been on the staff of spiritual generals, I've had meetings in our fellowship hall with U.S. generals. Is that true, Carol and Diane?
Yes.
Very important, very high level generals. Amen. And congressmen and people right here in our little fellowship hall. God has given me great favor with people in high places, but not for my own purposes, not for my own agenda, for His. Amen? So what's my point? Don't question the King. Don't question the King. Don't question somebody who's an authority over you, and you're sending you on a mission. If you're in a special ops group in the military, you don't question your commanding officer when he tells you to go risk your life in Somalia or in Sudan, and you're sending you on a dark ops mission, a black ops mission, amen? And you've got to pick up a package, or you've got to retrieve a prisoner, or you've got to kill a warlord. You know, you don't ask questions. You don't question the mission, do you, Anthony? You go, you take the orders, and you go. And it's people who can follow orders that get the missions. Amen?
Yes.
It's people who are faithful, trustworthy. And this guy, Joab, the general of Israel, was questioning the king. And what was he questioning? He said he was questioning about Abner, who killed his brother. He was focused on his brother. Even now I can understand that. I mean, if somebody killed my brother, I might let emotion. See, if you're in the military, you can't let emotion overtake the mission. I understand that, and I've never been in the military. But I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And I've realized that the same principle applies. You cannot let emotion overtake the mission. Amen? You've got to fulfill the mission in spite of your feelings. Oh God, if you can get this one, if you can grasp what I'm saying, if you can get past your feelings, nothing more than feelings. Da 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 da. There's a song for everything. Amen. You know, get over it. I need to get my sign up here that says "Get over it." Get over it. Do the mission. You can't bring the guy back from the dead. God will give you vengeance. So let's see what he does. So, and behold, the servants of David, verse 22, Joab came from a raid and brought much spoil. In verse 23, when Joab and all the army that was with him arrived, they told Joab, saying, Abner, the son of Ner, came to the king, and he sent him away, and he's gone in peace. Then Joab came to the king and said, what have you done? Behold, Abner came to you. Why then did you send him away? Why didn't you kill him? Why, well, that was wrong to question the king. And verse 25, the king was making a diplomatic move, strategic move. And you know, Abner, the son of Ner, that he came to deceive you, he said. Then to learn of your going and coming in. That's what he was accusing Abner of. And to find out all that you were doing. So when Joab came out from David, he sent messengers after Abner. And they brought him back from the well of Sirah. And David did not know it. So when Abner returned to Hebron, Joab took him aside into the middle of the gate to speak with him privately, and there he stuck him in the belly. struck him in the belly so that he died on account of the blood of Asahel, his brother. He let his feelings, his emotions overtake the mission. He didn't know the mission. He never even asked David what the mission was. What was the purpose of Abner's visit? He didn't ask. David didn't tell. He doesn't say it. He just did whatever. He was a wild ass of a man. The Bible says of certain people, of Esau, it says of Esau, he was a wild ass, asses and donkey. He was a wild ass of a man. Amen? It says it. You read it in Genesis. It says Esau was a wild ass of a man. Joab was a wild ass of a man. Okay? Sometimes many of us are. Sometimes we lose it. We lose our cool. We lose our head. And then we repent. Amen? So, he killed him. Let's see what happens. Then Joab came to the king after he killed him. Afterward, verse 28, when David heard it, he said, I and my kingdom are innocent before the Lord forever of the blood of Abner, the son of Ner. May it fall, listen to this curse, may the blood of Abner, may it fall on the head of Joab and all his father's house. The king is cursing his general, his own general. And may there not fail from the house of Joab one who has a discharge, or who is a leper, or who takes hold of a distaff, or who falls by the sword, or who lacks bread. So Joab and Abishai, his brother, killed Abner because he had put their brother Asahel to death in the battle of Gibeon. Then David said to Joab and to all the people who were with him, tear your clothes and gird on sackcloth and lament before Abner. And King David walked behind the bier. Thus they buried Abner in Hebron, and the king lifted up his voice and wept at the grave of Abner, and all the people wept. The king chanted a lament for Abner and said, should Abner die as a fool dies? Your hands were not bound, nor your feet put in fetters. As one falls before the wicked, you have fallen. And all the people wept again over him. Then all the people came to persuade David to eat bread while it was still day. But David vowed, saying, may God do so to me and more also if I taste bread or anything else before the sun goes down. You know, all the people took note of it, and it pleased them, just as everything the king did pleased all the people. So all the people and all Israel understood that day that it had not been the will of King David to put Abner the son of Ner to death. Then the king said to his servants, do you not know that a prince and a great man has fallen this day in Israel? I am weak today because, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, Joab and his brother, are too difficult for me, he said. May the Lord repay the evildoer according to his evil. David's saying that his own general is too... David killed. He murdered, but he killed in battle. He took 100... To get a wife from Saul's daughter, he killed 100 Philistines and brought their foreskins to Saul. David was a ruthless, bloody warrior. Amen? Those guys that came and lied to him, he cut their hands off and he cut their feet off and hung them up. David was a tough dude. And here we see David saying that his general is too difficult for him. He's too vicious. Another version basically says he's too vicious for me. He's too crazy, too wild. Out of control. Violent. He's too violent for me. He didn't know what to do with the guy. He didn't know what to do. So, you know what he did? He waited. Remember I said about waiting? And I waited overnight for that guy who wouldn't work for a woman? Sometimes when you're presented with a situation and you want vengeance and you get steamed and you want to act and you want to strike out. You want to lash out because somebody's hurt you. God says, step back. Lay down, get through your emotions, work through your feelings until they subside, and then hear the voice of the Lord and do what God says to do. That is what a wise person does. Yes. Amen. David showed great wisdom. And so, how did David show wisdom here? Well, he mourned Abner. So Joab killed him, and David mourned the guy. He was sincere, but by mourning him, Israel saw that David didn't kill him, that David was a friend of Abner. David fasted and he wept, and back then people had faith in leaders. They actually had faith in leaders back then, and there were actually leaders that you could trust. And David was one of them. And so David, the people believed that David was with them. And they, in spite of what Joab did, by killing the man, what was Abner going to do? He said, I'm going to deliver you the kingdom of Israel into your hands. But David, by just worshiping God and doing the right thing, turned the hearts of the people of Israel. God turned the hearts of the kingdom of Israel to David without Abner. Isn't that amazing? Joab killed the man who was going to hand the kingdom to David. He messed up the plan of God, the plan of the king. Make it for two. I'm hungry. Just kidding. Are you following me? At David, but David still got the kingdom because he kept his self-control, and he knew what to do in a tough situation. And he knew how to win the hearts of the people. But he wasn't just doing it for a show. He was sincere. And God gave him the kingdom. And it says, after Ish-bosheth, remember the two guys that killed Ish-bosheth, the king of Israel, in his bed, and they brought the head to David? In chapter 4, we already read that. Well, after that, it said when David gave the order in verse 12, chapter 4, David commanded the young men, and they killed those guys that killed the king and cut off their hands and feet and hung them up beside the pool in Hebron. But David was a tough guy too. And his own general was too tough for him. But then it says in chapter 5, then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, behold, we are your bone and your flesh. Previously, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel in and out. The Lord said to you, you will shepherd my people over Israel. You will be a ruler over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them before the Lord at Hebron when they anointed David king over Israel. That was David's second anointing. Samuel anointed him first as king over Israel in Bethlehem, in the fields, the sheep fields of Jesse, the father of David. Samuel poured a horn of oil over David and anointed him king. But that didn't come to pass till 17 years later, when 24 years later, when the children of Israel, the sons of Israel, the elders came and anointed David. They made him king over all Israel. And that's when it manifested. And David became king over the whole country. Praise the Lord. Are you seeing the wisdom of David here? Are you seeing why not only was David a great warrior, but why he deserved to be king? Because David could spot a thief. David could spot a killer. David could spot a liar. David could spot somebody who had a notion, somebody who had an agenda, a self-seeker, a power-hungry, a position-seeking person, a person looking for money or title. Amen? David had that discernment. That's something many of us lack. We meet somebody. Oh, you know, I think of the guy that shows up in town with the covered wagon and the snake oil salesman, you know what I mean? And he opens up his, you know, he opens up his wagon. He pulls out his snake oil. He says, in this jar, I have a tonic that will make you, that'll cure gout, and it'll cure arthritis, and it'll cure everything that ails you. And just take this for 1 month, and it's, you know, back in those days, you know, it's $1.99 a bottle, whatever, you know, 2 pounds, whatever. You know, and people would buy it, and then the guy would leave town, and they'd go take the stuff home. It didn't do anything for him. And he'd move on to the next town and sucker the people. And that's what we are. That's the way we are in America today. 50% of the country is suckered. 50% or more of the country have been sucked in by the big lie. The big green lie. 50% of the country have bitten off the big green lie, and they've been sucked in to the lie. And they're going to die for the lie. Not because the other 50% or whatever kills them, but because they destroy themselves. You know, a president of the United States, I'm recalling, I don't quote which one, I mean, it was Washington or Lincoln, said that if America ever falls, it'll fall from within. Yes. If America ever falls, it'll fall from within, not from without. Not because we're attacked from another country. We'll destroy ourselves. We'll destroy ourselves. Praise the Lord. And that's what we're doing right now. People lack discernment. They lack wisdom. If you have, and I'll tell you something. I'm going to conclude. Now, was David perfect? No. If you read on, and I won't read it, but if you read on, David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back. He wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem, okay? In chapter 6, David wanted to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. But there was a problem. He brought this guy with him named Uzzah. If you read in verse 3, there's a guy named Uzzah. And they're bringing the cart back, and they're worshiping the Lord, and they're praising God, and David's worshiping with all his might, and they're all excited to bring the Ark of the Covenant, which has been out of, you know, to the city of God, to Jerusalem, give it a home in its proper place, take it from Shiloh, where the tabernacle was, amen, and bring it back down to Jerusalem, where its new home is going to be, and it's on a wagon. But David failed to read, just like those men before him who got their hands and their feet cut off. David failed to read number 749, which says you had to be a Levite. You had to be a Levite and to carry the Ark of the Covenant and to touch it without death. And so when the Ark of the Covenant began to tip, it says in verse 6, but when they came, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but verse 6, when they came to the threshing floor of Nachon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of the God and took, now Uzzah wasn't, he was the son, and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, they were sons of Abinadab, they weren't Levites. And it says, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. He was trying to do a good thing. Everybody say he was trying to do a good thing. The anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his irreverence, and he died there by the ark of God. I don't know if the ark would have tipped over because the cart was going to fall, if God would have let the ark fall. I don't know if God would have sent angels to hold it up. We don't know. But we know one thing. Uzzah shouldn't have touched that ark. He paid with his life. And David was scared of God. He was angry with God that day. David was not without, he was human, just like you and me. David made mistakes too. So David went home, consulted with the priests, read the Bible, read the Torah, read Numbers 7, 4 through 9. It said, You have to be a Levite to touch the Ark of the Covenant without getting struck down. Amen? And then David came back about 3 months later. He came back with a team of Levites this time. And he brought the Ark back the right way. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's conclude. David was very wise and discerning. He could smell a plot or a conspiracy. He was a great judge of character and could assess wrong from right. But David was still just a man, as we see in the incident moving the Ark of the Covenant and later with Bathsheba. You have a better covenant. Hebrews 8:6 says, "But now hath he obtained, Yeshua, a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And if you and I have a better covenant with God than that of even King David, how much more should we be wise and discerning?" If we have a better covenant than David, how much more and more knowledge than David had available to him, how much more should we be wise and discerning than David? Of both good and evil deeds of men and the true intent of their hearts. The scripture says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him." Folks, if you have made mistakes of judgment, if you have opened your mouth and gotten into trouble, if you have not realized yet that you have one mouth and two ears, amen? And then that you should speak less and listen more, and that you should not speak to the Lord's anointed. Did anybody find that verse? "Do not touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Yeah. Psalms what? What does it say? You have it? "Don't touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm." Psalm 105 what? 15. "Don't touch my anointed and do my prophets no harm." That is a psalm of David. Okay? That's a psalm of David. "Do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm." Are rabbis anointed of the Lord? Are pastors anointed of the Lord? You know how many people mouth off to pastors and rabbis? Do you know how many people mouth off? I've seen it all my life since I've been a believer. Mouth off and open. Elders, mostly elders, but even I've seen people. I had a guy come charging into my house screaming at me one night. 10 o'clock at night, he falsely accused me of something I didn't do. Do you remember that, Don? He was a deacon. He came charging into my house, didn't even knock on the door, or he barged in. My kids were little and were going to sleep, and he barged into my house at 10 o'clock at night screaming at me. I was much bigger than him and in a healthier state, much younger. And I pushed him out the door gently, and I said, "You got a problem, buddy. You talk to me, but you don't come barging into my house screaming at me." And we went for a walk, and the issue that he came screaming wasn't true, but he accused me of having an anger problem that he just discerned in his own, he made it up in his own mind. There was nothing that ever happened. Okay? He made it up in his head that I had an anger problem. And I said, "You know, I perceive that you have an anger problem. Because you're the one that's angry. And you're the one that barged into my house." And so the board of directors of our ministry put him on probation. And then he left without finishing probation. I am better off. But so my point is, we need self-control. It's one of the fruit of the Spirit. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Ask for wisdom. We live in a time when even the elect are deceived. Brethren, there is a way that seems right to a man, whose end is the way of death. Be on your guard. Brethren, there is a way that seems right to a man, whose end is the way of death. Be on your guard. Don't react. Wait on the Lord for instructions. Vengeance is the Lord's. Don't take vengeance into your own hands. And don't strike the Lord's anointed. I've seen people pay with their life for doing so. I have. I've seen people strike the Lord's anointed and pay with their life within a year or years later. I've seen it. Please rise. I want to bless you. And the Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron that this is how you shall put my blessing upon the people. Yivrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha Ya'er Adonai panav eilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panav eilecha v'yisem lecha Shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom. In the name of Yeshua, the Messiah and the Prince of Peace. Shabbat Shalom. I pray that you've gleaned wisdom from this message today. God bless you, friends on Facebook.